apologize for the heat. At least it feels warm to me. We've only been here a few times in this building, and it's never been this crowded. Some of us carry some extra insulation that makes it a bit warmer, but I trust that you'll be able to abide this place this evening. Some special words of welcome. There's some folks that have come, many of you from our church in Greenville. We want to thank you in the Lord's name for your support in driving that hour and a half down. Apologize, there was no lights for the church sign. We just plain ran out of time to get everything done. Didn't happen. Now you'll know the next time you come down where this church is on Midway Road. We thank you all for coming the distance. A special thank you to Mr. David Crawford. He came from the north of Ireland to be here tonight, an old friend of mine that goes back many years. He first set foot in the Free Church in America in Orlando, Florida, when I first started there back in 1989. And that's my pleasure to welcome him here tonight to this house of God in this special opening event. The work here commenced in, I should say January, February of 2002. There were several families who had a longing to start a work in this area, and they approached Dr. Barrett, I guess, and some folks in Greenville, and they began to meet in their home, and it became, I won't go through all the details of why I'm here and the call that I got. That's on sermon audio if you want to hear that. But I came in the will of God in September of 2002. And one of my great concerns, fears, I should say, was starting all over again at my age. I am as old as I look. And I just didn't relish pioneer work at this late stage in my life, but that's what the Lord told me to do, so we did it. And in a very short time, the Lord has brought together a congregation of people who are in earnest about serving the Lord and worshiping God and making Christ the center of everything. We thank the Lord for that. It's only the Lord's grace that's brought us here. It is a marvelous thing. I never expected this. It took about, 8 or 9 years in Orlando to reach about, 35, 40 people. We're having more than that here in Columbia after about 2.5 years. And so the Lord's hand has been upon this work. It's all, I feel, in spite of us, not because of us, because of His grace. And we're glad that you're here tonight to be a very special part of that. Now, we are free Presbyterians, but we do take offerings. With a crowd this size, we have got to have an offering. No. To let you know what the Lord has done for us, when this all began last year, I asked the Lord if He would open this building debt-free. I wanted it to be a case where, at least if He does, I don't want it to not to happen because I didn't ask Him. At least ask the Lord. He hasn't done that. But He has certainly brought in a very large amount of money for this small congregation. Since November of last year, we have raised $70,000. $40,000 from within the congregation and $30,000 from without. This property is going to run about $300,000 when it's all said and done. We're nowhere near that. And we would like to ask you to give liberally, as the Lord lays it upon your heart. All this will go towards our debt to retire it. And it also will go towards some gifts I need to present right now before we take the offering. That's only a jest. I'd like to call a few people up here. First off, before I forget, those flowers, lovely flowers, from the construction and destruction crew. That's Larry Killian, Bill Greider, Chad Knutson, Pete Cellini, and whoever ETC is. Thank you, crew, for the flowers. They're beautiful. We'd love to have an artificial arrangement of that right there. Mr. Pete Cellini, would you come forward just for a moment, please? Where's Pete? My apprentice. You folks don't know, but Pete was down here almost every day throughout the week, drove down with Larry Killian. And in the heat back in August, September, 102, 103 degrees a day, he was here faithfully without a murmur. Didn't like the sun a lot. But we want to say thank you, Pete, for coming down. There's some software here I think you might relish. And in the Lord's name, we thank you for the hard work, and there's a lot ahead of you yet.
It's hotter up here.
Mr. William Grider, would you please come forward for a moment, please? In the providence of God, Mr. Grider moved to this area right as we were about to start this building project. And quite honestly, I don't know how it would have been done without him. He is an amazing man to see behind a Bobcat. I dubbed him Bobcat Bill. All this grading site work was all done with Bill and his Bobcat, and he's a master carpenter, and I thank him for the many, many hours. When we went home, he was still working in the heat of the day. And this caused his family much grief, at least I think, because he was away so much from Beth and the kids.
She enjoyed it.
This is a gift certificate at the Outback Steakhouse for you to take your family there and catch back on some of the time that you lost. So, Bill, thank you for all your labors. Appreciate it very much in the Lord's name. Mr. Larry Killian is the last one. Our general contractor. Larry drove down from Greenville every day. And two different pickups, depending on which one was running. Both of them were gas hogs because I saw the gas bills that were turned into us. But it's been a great time working with Larry. He's a very easygoing fellow to work with. Hard to offend, Larry, and very knowledgeable. And what you're seeing here in this building is a beautiful building, what the Lord has done. There's still some things that have to be done yet. Don't look up on the ceiling right there. We missed some paint there. But Larry's been hard laboring, and we want to thank him. Now, there's nothing in here for you to take your wife out to dinner, Larry. I'm sorry. He has no wife, if you didn't know that. But he is married to Lowe's and Home Depot, so there's a gift card here for Lowe's. Just a word of appreciation for your labors here in the work of God. But give this man a round of applause, please, for the labors. I don't want to miss my own congregation. They labored many, many Saturdays, gave up their family times to be here, to take down walls, to plant flowers and shrubbery, to dig ditches and the muck and the mire. If you had seen this place, it's totally transformed. And the people here were behind this work completely and showed it by their labors here. And I want to thank my own congregation for your labors. It meant a lot to me that you're in there with us in that. Also, I don't want to miss Greenville. Greenville, on numerous occasions, sent down large crews of men to work. And all of this is because of your labors here. We thank you in the Lord's name for your goodness to us, and pray that when we have another building project in a few years, you'll be ready. Chad to come down, Knudsen, and John Fulton, and a lot of you to help us. We thank you all in the Lord's name. I also want to thank Mrs. Pinkston for agreeing to pay the offertory. It's time now to receive your offering for the building fund in this church.
First of all, I have to make a statement, and then I'm going to ask a question, and then we're going to make another statement. Now, first of all, the statement, the presbyter received a petition signed by 15 people to be recognized as a constituent congregation of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. In addition, there were a number of adherents who associated themselves with this petition. I want to ask all those people who signed if you would please stand at this time. Now I have to ask a question of you, and you can answer. And when you come to these questions, just think of the first two words, and that tells you how you're supposed to answer. Do you, in reliance on God for strength, solemnly promise and covenant that you will walk together as an organized church on the principles of the faith and order of the Free Presbyterian Church in America, and that you will be zealous and faithful in maintaining the purity and peace of the whole body? Okay, you may be seated now. Having received a petition from this body of believers, and having interviewed and received the signatories as charter members, the presbytery has authorized this commission to act in its name to constitute this congregation as Covenant Free Presbyterian Church, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless you and give you the gifts and graces necessary for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm going to call upon Dr. Mike Barrett, who is the president of our Geneva Reformed Seminary, and ask Brother Barrett if he would come now and lead us in the Constitution Prayer.
Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this evening in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge that Christ is the sole head and King of the Church. We acknowledge, Lord, that he is the foundation upon which the Church is built, that he indeed is the cornerstone. Lord, we acknowledge that the Church is Christ's. We stand here this evening with hearts that are filled with joy, hearts that are filled with amazement, as we have seen what the Lord has done in bringing this church to constitution. Lord, what a happy day it was those 3 years ago when we met with that small group who had a heart desire to see a work started here. How we rejoice as we've seen these people unite together. How we rejoice, Lord, as our brother Wagner has come to lead this little group of people. We rejoice tonight, Lord, in the very building in which we are, but as happy as we are about the building, Lord, we acknowledge the church is more than just a building. For this people that you brought together, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to unite them, that you would unite them to fear the Lord, you would unite them together to seek the Lord, you would grant to them an effective ministry here in this community. What a strategic place this is for a work of the Free Church. We ask, Lord, that what we see tonight here is a culmination of so much of your blessing and so much of your favor upon this people would indeed be just the beginning of even greater things that are ahead in the days to come. We consecrate this work. We dedicate, Lord, this work under your glory, under your purpose. We acknowledge again that the church is Christ, that he has given promise concerning the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we would ask indeed that this church, empowered by the Spirit of God, would know what it is to lead the onslaught against the very gates of hell. Lord, we see the word that the minister has put in the back of the program, that this might be a place not only for the edification and the building up of the flock of God and the people of God, but it might be that rescue shop that would be just a yard from hell. Lord, we pray that while saints are being edified, that this would be a place where souls and lost sinners are being evangelized, that this would be indeed a place where sinners hear the gospel, or they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So to that end, we pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon this place, upon this congregation that is now constituted as a church. May your hand be upon them. May your smile be upon them. Lord, may the Spirit of God lead in every battle that is ahead, in every sermon that is proclaimed and preached. May it go forth in that power and demonstration of the Spirit. Lord, we can only anticipate what you'll do in the days to come. Accept our thanks for this night. Accept our thanks for your faithfulness that has brought us to this night. Lord, we thank you. And again, we consecrate this work to your glory, for your unfailing purpose, for the glorification of your dear Son and our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.
I'll ask if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the 144th Psalm, Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows, and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Well, amen. We trust the Lord's blessing be upon the public reading of his word.
Now, Mr. Barrett already has reminded you that the church is not the building. You will in the future say, well, we're going to church. And by that you mean you're coming to this building. But the building is not the church. The church is the people that the Lord has saved. And may the Lord help us all in North America to build living churches. And Psalm 144 that was read is an encouragement to us. And I'm just going to look at the verses 12 to 14 to show you, first of all, some helpful illustrations that the Lord has given to us in building a living church. And then verses 12 to 13, some encouraging results that you expect from a living church. This message, I wanted to be a practical one, going especially to the saints of God who are called to labor here in this part of his vineyard. Now, first of all, the helpful illustrations. Verse 14, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Now the first thing that strikes me here is, there is here a desire to work because the oxen, they are to be strong to labor. Now in the Church of Jesus Christ, there is no place for drones. We ought not to be idle, we should be workers. Paul says in another context in 2 Thessalonians, if any man would not work, neither should he eat. And that's very true for our societies. But in the Christian church it's just the same, because you get people who come along to the services and all they want to do is to eat and to be fed by the Word of God. And that's a good thing, but they never do anything. They just want to be spoon-fed by the minister in the church. And so every one of us is called to work. Now, it says that our oxen may be strong to labor. That's a strong word, naturally. And it's one that means a hard labor. And it's wonderful when the Lord has a people who will work hard. And this poor man here, I've heard, has been working very, very hard. I have phoned down several times and Kim told me, oh, he's down working away at the church there. Well, that's good to be involved in working in the Lord. The oxen are yoked together. And how good it is when you believers yoked together here in Columbia for the common purpose of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But now as this congregation has been constituted, it's time for you to ask yourself a question. And that question is, what special service has the Lord called me to do within the bounds of this congregation? Are you involved? Sunday school, are you offering your services to teach the boys and girls? And I tell you, that ever an age where we need to focus on our children, it is in this age, because a generation is being destroyed. And we need to focus on the young people and the children. And let me ask you, have you volunteered your services? You see, some people say, well, I could never teach a Sunday school class. In my previous church in Northern Ireland, there's a man there who actually built my church over there. And I said to him, Robert, would you like to consider teaching in Sunday school? Oh, Pastor, I could never do that. I said, Robert, do you want to think about it and go home and pray about it? Because maybe the Lord will help you to do something. So he did. And he came back eventually. And in a couple of years, he wasn't only teaching in Sunday school, he was a Sunday school superintendent. So you may have talents that are latent there that you think you can't do it. But friend, the Lord has a job for you to do. In the Sunday school, working with the young people, in the church services, going out there to reach others and invite them to come in. You see, I tell my own congregation that everybody in the church just brought one person, the church wouldn't hold them. And ask yourself, when was the last time that you brought somebody along to the church service to hear the word of the Lord? So here you have oxen that are strong to labor. May the Lord help us. And you ask the Lord, Lord, what special job? We have a dear lady in our church, and she's in the hospital right now, but she used to, when somebody was sick, she and her husband would send out a card to them, a card to wish them a simple little thing. But how many people were blessed by that? Little simple job. Ask the Lord, what special job can you do here in Columbia for the extension of the kingdom of God and the glory of his name? They always say, never volunteer. But it's a good thing to volunteer for the work of the Lord, because you will never know what you'll be able to do until you actually start to work for the Lord. Then there is here, it says, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in. So not only is there to be a desire to work within the local congregation, but there is to be that defeat for the enemy by keeping the enemy from breaking in. And you've got the picture of a church as a walled city, somewhat like what Bunyan portrayed in his Holy War. What a wonderful book that is. Most people have read The Pilgrim's Progress, but have you read The Holy War? Tremendous book to encourage you, how that Diabolus was ruling in the city of man's soul, and the Lord came in and drove him out, but he was outside wanting back in again, wanted to get back in again to cause havoc and to cause difficulty to the people of God. Well, we have to stand in our day, and we have to stand firmly, and we have to stand on our guard and stand shoulder to shoulder, because you'll find that the devil will always try to get to the weakest point. And if you have a weak believer in your church, or perhaps some of your young people, the devil will focus on them and try to gain an entrance into the congregation by them. That's why together we have to stand shoulder to shoulder and defeat the powers of the wicked one. You see, in this chapter, and I'm not going to take time tonight in this meeting, but he's talking about strange children, those who have a strange voice, those who have a strange ministry, and David is praying, rid me of these strange children. Now, they say that the Lord's people are a peculiar people, and there's some are more peculiar than others, there's no doubt about that, but the Lord wants us here to be rid of strange children. Now, that can be done two ways. You can either kick them out, but that doesn't really achieve very much. It causes them to be upset and cause the church to lose somebody and so on. Far better to pray, Lord, take the strangeness out of them, so they're no longer strange children. So we have to fight a battle, and we are fighting a battle today for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. In our area, we are surrounded by false religions. And I'm sure you're getting the same. And I just flicked on the TV this morning and found 9 broadcasts of different types of preachers. And I think of the 9 of them, only one of them probably was sort of fundamental in the teaching. And there's much teaching abroad. We have to stand together and defeat the devil. Because if the devil can't get at you from outside, he'll get at you from inside. So that's why you've got to be careful that he doesn't get into the Trojan horse. So we stand together and pray, Lord, do not let the devil get into this congregation to wreak havoc, because he would do it if he could. There's another thing, that our there's to be no breaking in nor going out. That there is a duty to remain at the post that the Lord has called you to be at. You see, deserting a war or a battle scene is a serious crime, a serious war crime. On the earlier days, if you deserted, you were shot dead, because you were somebody who was damaging the army. You were taking defeating the morale of the soldiers and so on. So we are to stand at our post and be at the services. You see, there are many people who just love to go and try. I was just reading an article a few days ago about people who, let's go and try this church here. That's a nice sort of a church. I like that. And or try this one here. And so they move from place to place. But friends, if God has called you to this congregation in Columbia, this is where you stay. You stay here laboring for the Lord. Because the devil, he'll want you to go away. And you think, well, if I'm not in church, then I'll not be missed. You are missed, I can tell you, as a minister. Because you look down and you see an empty seat and you wonder, well, what's wrong with Mrs. So-and-so today? Is she sick today? Or has she gone away, or is something bothering her? We never know. Friends, make sure, as far as possible, you're in your place and bring others. Another thing too, when people do come in, when visitors come in, go out of your way to be friendly to them. When I went to live in Seattle in 1967, we were looking for a church, my wife and I and her family, and we were advised to go to one denomination, it's a Presbyterian Separatist denomination, and we went along, and as I'm sitting down there, the minister said, when I was talking to Dr. Paisley, and I said, nudge my wife, this must be all right, this man knows the doc, and has been talking to him. And we made ourselves known, we got a very nice welcome. Now, the next Sunday, I happened to notice in the newspaper another denomination, the Fundamental Church, and they were preaching on biblical separation. So I thought, well, that's good. Let's go along and hear what this man has to say. So I went along and he preached an acceptable message on biblical separation. And we introduced ourselves to him at the end, and we got what I call the wet fish handshake. You ever get one of those? It's like taking hold of a wet fish. Now you ask yourself, what church do you go back to? Do you go back to the one where you're made welcome? Or do you go back to the one where you're only really just somebody there to fill out their congregation? The friends here, have somebody on the door to greet the people coming in, make them feel at home, and you'll find that the chances are that they'll come back. And you see, if you're not at your post, that's not going to happen. So you stay at your post. And I'm a firm believer that you pray, and if God leads you to a place, that's where you stay until the Lord gives you some other instruction to go elsewhere. But then sometimes you get people who come along and they say they've got instructions of the Lord. I had a woman come in to me last Sunday morning, and she came in after the service. We had a good service, and I was in blessings. She came in and she said that the Lord just sent me in to speak to you. The Lord didn't tell me that she was coming, but she came in to speak to me. And she says, I'm starting a work, a home care work, and I have certain qualifications and so on. And the Lord, he has just told me to come to you. And then she saw my door with a doctor on it, and she thought I was a medical doctor. Oh, you can refer your clients along to me. I had a job explaining to her that I'm not a medical doctor, and so on. But that dear lady, she came in, and she many times said that she was sent of the Lord. But I think she got her theology wrong, because it certainly did not bless our souls. Here we're having a worship service, and she's coming looking for a job. So friends, we got to stick at the post and do the job that the Lord has called us to. And the key word is to be faithful. And do welcome those who come into your congregation here. And then here's a good one. At the end of verse 14, that there be no complaining in our streets. Well, where we come from in Northern Ireland, we complain. We complain if it's raining, and then we complain if it's not raining. In fact, they say that if you can see the Mourne Mountains, that's a sign there's going to be rain. And if you can't see them, that means it's raining already. So that's just a little travelogue for you if we're coming over to our Congress in Belfast next year. That's the situation. We grumble if it's raining. We grumble if it's not raining. And the sad thing is that in the Christian life, you get a lot of people who are grumblers. Now, people right now are fighting a battle over in Iraq. And your soldiers, that they are not in the very best of situations. They're in a very, very hot country to start with, a dusty country, a sandy country, and a very dangerous country, and they have to go out dressed right up with all kinds of stuff that must be exceedingly uncomfortable to wear in the battle situation they find themselves in. But if they start complaining, they're in real trouble, because that would destroy the morale of the whole army. And so they are not to complain. Now, you look at the children of Israel, and they complained an awful lot. And then we say, well, they were a bad lot, but then we look at ourselves and we discover that we also complain a lot. And when you complain, all you do is you discourage other believers. My friends, I've discovered a principle in life, that the people who complain most in the work of God are those who do the least in the work of God. But they don't realize that we're in a battle and we're serving the great commander. And while things may not always be nice, and you go through situations like we went through a month ago or 2 months ago, when one of our friends was killed, his wife is in hospital with serious injuries, and you look at those things and you almost want to say, why, Lord? But the Lord's working all things according to the counsel of his will. And so let's not become a nation and a people of grumblers, but rather rejoice in the Lord. I have a dear lady in my church, and she's well into her 70s, and a lot of us, when you get up there, you begin to realize that growing old is not the easiest. They talk about the golden pot at the end of the rainbow, and they talk about the golden age. Well, the older years are not really all that golden. And this dear lady, she says, you know, when I get up in the morning, I just thank the Lord for another day. And I say, Lord, help me to live that day to the best of my ability and for thy glory. And so let's not be grumblers. Let's work together, because when you grumble, all you do is destroy the morale of the people of the Lord. But then you've got these encouraging results in verse 12 and verse 13. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Now, they're not weeds and they're not thorns. They're plants, and they're planted by Almighty God. They're growing in the grace of the Lord. Now, when you plant a plant, that plant stays where you put it. It doesn't wake up in the morning and say, well, I don't really like here. Digs itself up and walks along to another place. And says, I prefer this place here. And so it plants itself again. Now, Dr. Paisley used to tell us when he was a boy at school, they gave them a little project to grow plants on a piece of blotting paper or something that they kept wetting, and the plant would grow. And the doc, he says, he kept pulling it up to see how well the root system was doing. So that's not a very good idea. But the Lord has given us plants, sons to grow up as plants. And that is that they're stable. They're not here today and gone tomorrow. They're stable in the work of the Lord. And what a blessing it is when you have in your congregation young men who become those plants. Now, you're just started off just 3 years going. But one of the great joys of my life is that five of our young men are currently in the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and they're out doing the work. And we have another 25 men and women who are in full-time service in Christian education. And every one of those plants is bearing fruit in its own right, in its own right. And so may God help us here to so put the challenge to young people, because you look at the size of your country and our country, the north of us here, and the challenge is immense. It's immense. And the more men we can get in, the more we can do for the Lord. We have a request from London, Ontario, another one from Antigonish in Nova Scotia. But we have no men to send there. We need young men. Young men who will grow up as plants, because the young men, they are the church of tomorrow. But just like in any gardening situation, you have perhaps a greenhouse with plants growing. They're getting ready to be planted out. Your Sunday school is one of those seed beds. Your young people's fellowship is one of those seed beds where young people are growing up and feeling the call of the Lord, because the sons of today are the church of Jesus Christ for tomorrow. Young men rooted in Christ. Young men who are fed and fertilized by the word of the Lord. Young men who have the dew of the grace of God and prayer upon their lives, young men whose lives are glorifying to the Lord God. May God give you many sons here in Columbia, that in days to come you'll look back and you'll thank the Lord. That young fellow who met the Lord here, he was born again in this place, called of God eventually the ministry, the mission field, and goes forward. May God raise up a real bunch of young men here in this and in all our congregations. Then you've got the daughters. They don't escape, because it says there that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Now, they always say that the woman is the weaker vessel, but the scripture does not say that at all. Because this scripture here is showing us them as cornerstones. Now, sometimes you get situations in churches, and I have to be very delicate about this one here. You get situations in churches where you can have trouble, and perhaps somebody has said about the devil in skirts. You've probably heard that example. But in our churches, we don't look for that. We look for our woman not to be divisive, but to be cohesive, because the bricks and the stones in the corner, they join the thing together. We are building our church in Northern Ireland, That man that I told you about, he became the Sunday school superintendent. They put the walls up, one wall right up, window openings and so on. They got it up, but they hadn't the corners tied in. And that night along came a nice little wind, a little storm, and down came the wall, the blockwork right down, and they had to start all over again. But when you get the cornerstones in, and you got the wall at right angles, then that stabilized the whole thing. And that's what the Lord is telling us, that our daughters, they are as cornerstones to join the walls together. And you mothers, you think of a tremendous task that the Lord has given you, a tremendous responsibility, and the tremendous blessing that you get as you raise your child in the way of the Lord. And you'll notice also, too, and I've noticed from experience, that very often in the Christian church, the women do a far better job than the men do. You take our church, Sunday school, the percentage of our Sunday school teachers is more feminine than masculine. I go into our day school, and you find the same thing. More women teachers than men. And so we thank the Lord for daughters who are growing up and been used, and they are polished. You see, it says there that they're polished after the similitude of a palace. And the polishing, of course, involves abrasion. You cannot polish something unless you have something that's harder to polish the substance you're polishing. And so there's abrasion involved there, and in God's work, you'll find that there are many difficulties and there are many hardships and many afflictions. But these afflictions, they're sent by the Lord to help us and to strengthen us, because nobody has any Christian character worth anything that just breezes through life with no difficulty. But as you overcome by the grace of God the problems that face you, and you're abraded by the Lord's loving hand, then you begin to shine. And the daughters here, they shine to the glory of the Lord our God. But then you have our garners full. That our garners may be full. Garners, of course, are storage barns, a word that means to gather together. And I was brought up on a farm. I know a little bit about farming. But in farming, I discovered we used to have a great big metal hay shed. And at the end of the summertime, the hay was brought in, or whatever the particular commodity was brought in. It was my job to tramp it down as a young fella. Well, we quite enjoyed it, working away. But I discovered something, that hay does not come into the barn by itself. You have to, first of all, go out early in the year and plough the ground. Then after that, you've got to prepare the ground. Then you've got to sow the seed. Then you've got to look after the pests, and then finally you reap it, and then finally you bring it into the garner, into the barn. And friends, the Church of Jesus Christ does not go by itself, because the Lord in His grace and wisdom has called individuals as instruments in His hands, and He wants you to get involved, and He wants you to get to the business of plowing. Plowing's a lonely business. Usually one plowman goes out, prepares the ground. And then you sow the seed. You got your principal seed sower here as he preaches the gospel Sunday by Sunday, and his task is to preach the Lord Jesus Christ in all his fullness. But as well as the preacher, you've got the Sunday school teacher and the youth leaders. They are all people who are sowing the seed. And if you plow and you prepare and you're praying for the preparation of the ground and you sow the seed in the business of preaching the word of the living God. Now before we come to the installation of a minister, I have to ask you some more questions. That's the congregation. Some more questions for you, four of them, and if you agree, you can answer, "I do," at the appropriate time. The first question, do you, the people of this congregation, continue to profess your readiness to receive Reverend John Wagner, whom you have called to be your pastor? Second question, do you promise to receive the word of truth from his mouth with meekness and love and to submit to him in the due exercises of discipline? Third question, do you promise to encourage him in his labors and to assist his endeavors for your instruction and spiritual edification? The last question, do you engage to provide for his financial support while he is your pastor and to furnish him with whatever you may see needful for the honor of religion and for his comfort among you? Right, I'm going to call upon the clerk of our presbytery, the Reverend David Brehm, if he would come now and put the necessary questions to the minister who is to be installed.
Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the verbally inspired word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you confess the Lord Jehovah as one God in the Trinity of his eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and believe the confession and constitution of this church as containing the system of doctrine and polity taught in the Word of God?
I do.
Are you firmly resolved through divine grace to adhere to the doctrine contained in these substandards and teach and defend it to the utmost of your power against all error?
I am.
The following are distinctive positions of doctrine and practice of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. A. The Christ-centered exposition of the Reformed faith with a strong commitment to evangelism. B. The centrality and all-sufficiency of the person and work of Christ in the preaching of the gospel. C. The doctrine of God's free justification of sinners by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone. D. Separation from the apostasy of the ecumenical movement, opposition to false charismatism, and steadfast adherence to the historic, Reformed, and Protestant faith. E. The personal separation of believers from worldliness in holiness unto the Lord. F. The necessity of giving ourselves to earnest prayer for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power to make our service effective and glorifying to God, and for genuine revival in our day. Do you sincerely embrace, and will you faithfully maintain these distinctive positions?
I do, and I will.
Are you now willing to assume the responsibilities of pastor in this church, engaging to walk before this flock with exemplary piety, and to be faithful and diligent in the exercise of all personal and private duties that become you as a Christian and a minister of the gospel, as well as in all the duties that pertain to this office?
I am.
Mr. Wagner will now sign the confessional substandards of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America under the following formula. I believe the confessional substandards of this church to be founded on and agreeable to the Word of God, and as such I subscribe them as a confession of my own faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King and only Head of the Church, we, the Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church, according to the authority that Christ has vested in us, do hereby install you, Reverend John Wagner, as minister of this congregation in Columbia, South Carolina, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the merits of his atoning blood, we approach thy throne of grace in prayer. We thank thee this evening that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And we praise thee that at thy right hand there is a man in the glory, the man Christ Jesus, the God-man, our Savior and our Redeemer, the chief shepherd of the flock of God, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. and who rose again triumphant o'er the tomb. We thank Thee, our Father, that in the name of the Lord Jesus, we not only have a way of access to God, but we have an assured hearing and an assured answer. We rejoice in all that Thou hast wrought here in this congregation of Thy people, and we rejoice in this wonderful time to which Thou hast brought us. We thank Thee that this is an answer to prayer. We thank Thee that it is a vindication of the vision that Thou didst give to those few people. And we thank Thee, our God, that it is the seal upon the call that Thou didst give to Thy servant in uprooting him from the work which Thou hadst used him to establish, to come and start again. We do thank Thee that this place tonight, this service in all its parts, is a testimony not to the free church, or to the minister, or even to the people, but it is a testimony to our great Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in the righteous merits of our blessed Redeemer, and in His name. Amen.
It is my privilege tonight to bring you greetings from all of our churches. We are more than a mere denomination. We believe that we are a large church family. And we take the admonition of the Apostle Paul to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Tonight we're rejoicing with you in all that God has done for you. This is truly an historic occasion, and we're grateful for all that God has done in these past few months and years. Bring your greetings tonight from our congregation in Malvern. The Wagner family were a part of that congregation many years ago when it was first located in Newtown Square. It was just a small congregation in those days. When John answered the call to preach and brought his family to South Carolina, he took with him half the Sunday school. He came back a few years later and brought him back, and then he took him away a second time. But we have looked with great interest upon his ministry. Our congregation remembers him in our prayers, and we're thankful for what he did through his ministry in Orlando, and now what he is doing in that ministry here in Columbia. We're also happy that our brother Pete Cellini can be a part of this ministry during his internship. And we're glad that he also is from Malvern and has come to this part of the Lord's vineyard. We congratulate you tonight on what the Lord has done for you, and we look forward to seeing great things in the future.
You'll notice in your program it's time for the minister's remarks. I've been so busy working on this property, didn't have time to prepare any remarks. I was painting at about 5 o'clock tonight. I do want to give Jesus Christ all the glory, all the honor for this event tonight. We're here by the grace of God. It has nothing to do with me, in many ways with the people. It's the Lord's grace that has brought this congregation together. It's a great milestone to reach in such a short period of time. It surprised me. I wasn't expecting the work to come together so quickly. I believe the Lord has had mercy on me in my old age and has done a wonderful thing for us. But I have to point out that we have a very, very long way to go. This place is going to seem very empty on Sunday morning. About 50, 55 people meet here. If everybody's, all of our students are back in town, that's about the gathering. And we have a long row to hoe. Don't forget about this work here, please, as you go back to your own churches and charges. Keep praying for this work. We're just getting started. We're just getting our feet wet. There's a lot of laboring to be done. I'd like to thank Dr. McClellan for the message that dealt with the great need to stand, not just stand, but to be laborers in the work of God. It's easy to be a sitter and someone who sits on the sidelines and watches, but what this work needs are laborers, and laborers for the harvest field. It is especially our burden that we will see this church built through sinners being saved. Can't stress that enough. While we thank the Lord for the believers He will bring in, to this congregation and add to it believers who, as we saw tonight, are not being fed. Wherever they're attending church, their souls are not being given the Word of God, the meat of the Word of God. Our great desire is to see new converts, to see the lost coming in of all stripes and shades and colors, and see the power of the gospel transform them. Nothing would make me happier than to see this church filled with converted sinners. I asked the Lord this morning, before heading out to work again, as I call this place, heading out to work the last 2 months, that's the way it's been quite a bit, just for a word from what I read, both in the scriptures and in Spurgeon's checkbook of faith. I was, I shouldn't have been, but I was a little amazed when Spurgeon, in this day's reading, quotes on Isaiah 60, verse 22. That text says, "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time." Spurgeon comments, "Works for the Lord often begin on a small scale, and they are none the worse for this. Feebleness educates faith, brings God near, and wins glory for His name. Prize promises of increase. Mustard seed is the smallest among seeds, and yet it becomes a tree-like plant with branches which lodge the birds of heaven. We may begin with one, and that a little one, and yet it will become a thousand. The Lord is great at the multiplication table. How often did He say to His lone servant, 'I will multiply thee'? Trust in the Lord, ye ones and twos, for He will be in the midst of you if you are gathered in His name." A small one. What can be more despicable in the eyes of those who count heads and weigh forces? Yet this is the nucleus of a great nation. Only one star shines out at first in the evening, but soon the sky is crowded with countless lights. Nor need we think the prospect of increase to be remote, for the promise is, I, Jehovah, will hasten it in His time. There will be no premature haste like that which we see at excited meetings. It will be all in due time, but yet there will be no delay. When the Lord hastens, His speed is glorious. I was mightily encouraged. We are the ones and the twos, and we are to take encouragement that God knows how to multiply. He's an excellent multiplier at the table. And we are looking forward to perhaps you seeing one day the same crowd of people in here, but all local. Souls that God has touched. That's His promise. It's a promise He's given to me and to this congregation, and we bless His name for His goodness to us.
Our Lord and God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the things that we have in Christ. We thank You for the bounty that He's provided for us. We thank You for the salvation we have in Him. But we do pray that You would use this place for Thy glory. We pray that You would bring sinners home in this place. But we now we ask that You would meet us as we gather for fellowship. We pray that the Lord Christ's name would be exalted even in that time. Bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. We ask it in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen.